the same time, there are certain facts of the universe which Krishna has stated. It's someone who, due to their present karma, they may be in a certain kind of body. And one certain kind of position is considered better for making spiritual advancement than another. Generally, the brahmana is considered in a better position to serve the Lord. Generally, the male form is considered better than the female form. But that's on the worldly platform, but Krishna accepts everyone who approaches him with sincerity. But at the same time, one who, due to their previous activities, is in a certain position, a certain position is considered better than others. Just like being born in India is considered better than being born in the West. But if a Westerner takes up Krishna consciousness seriously, they're in a better position than an Indian who doesn't. If a woman takes up Krishna consciousness seriously, they're in a better position than a man who doesn't. Generally, the Brahmacharya ashram is considered better, or the renounced mode of life is considered better than that of the Grihastha life. This Grihastha life means attachment and worldly diversions. But if someone is in the Brahmacharya ashram but he's not taking it very seriously, then he's the Grihastha who's taking Krishna consciousness very seriously, despite the inherent attachments of that ashram, the Grihastha is doing, he's in a better position. So we may, according to the our past lives activities, we may be in a certain situation, one may be better than another, but what we do with it, that's important. You can take up Krishna consciousness and become fully Krishna conscious. There's no disqualification. That I was born in a beef-eating family, isn't it disqualification to my taking up Krishna consciousness seriously? I can become fully Krishna conscious despite that. That you were born in the body of a woman isn't disqualification to become Krishna conscious. Being in this material world is itself a disqualification.
Yes.
Actually, in Vedic culture, men dominate. That is the social order. It doesn't mean women can't become fully Krishna. That men dominate doesn't mean that women are hated. There's modern propaganda that women should have equal rights with men, but that's not according to Vedic culture, which comes from the Shastra. According to Vedic culture, women are supposed to be... Women are worshipped as mothers. They're also considered that they require protection. Physically, they require protection. As Prabhupada explained, a 16-year-old boy can go all over the world running problems. A 16-year-old woman can't. She'll be physically exploited. So women require protection for themselves, and also Prabhupada explained that the Varnashram system is a system in which society is organized, in which everyone can be saved from the conditions of this material world, particularly the sex attraction, and become Krishna conscious. So the Varnashram system is organized like that. Women are protected for their own sake, that they're not exploited, they're under one husband, and also that that the propensity of the very basic principle of material existence is attraction between male and female. That's what binds us in this material world. So the Varnashram system is a system in which there's a system in which men and women are separated and they're treated differently. So that to protect them from manifesting their worst propensities and to maximize their positive propensities. Women have a very important role to play as mothers. That is the natural role which goes with the body of a woman, is to be a mother. That is her important role, to bear children, to bring up children. But in modern society, they've made women into... they simply sex objects. So the women should be equal, that means men can exploit as they like. But Vedic culture is different. In Vedic culture, women, they have a subordinate role. And subordinate doesn't mean that they have no less chance to become Krishna conscious, but socially they have a subordinate role. But socially they have a subordinate role because their main duty is to look after children. Their main duty is to be with children. Require love, care, protection 24 hours. They need to be looked after. In modern society, they say women should be politicians, fighter jet pilots, and all this kind of thing. But if they're doing that, then who's looking after the children? They're not having children, they're aborting them. So this idea of women's equality, it actually comes from a very demoniac society. Equal spiritual rights. You have full right to chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. But women should be protected and controlled by their husbands for the benefit of the whole human society and for their own benefit also. That is the Vedic social paradigm. So that is going on in what in the general Indian culture, and actually it was all over the world until recently. And there have been excesses, or that has been misused. Women sometimes are mistreated, and it can happen in this society also. And I'm talking in this seminar about misuse of position, so many things. We're trying to recognize those problems. But the basic social paradigm is that women, if they are shy, chaste, subservient to their husbands, faithful to their husbands, mothers, that is the best social role for their own social and spiritual development and for that of society as a whole. So in our society also there is a movement within our society which parallels that of the feminist movement in broader Kami society, which is very prominent in India at the present time. In the universities and in the schools, they're teaching how women should have their own rights and every woman should have their... I was speaking to a young girl recently in Nagpur. Where you're from, isn't it? You're from. And she was telling me, why don't... I was asking, how many rounds do you chant? She said, I chant 4 rounds. I don't have time to chant 16 rounds. So I said, why don't you have time? I said, I'm studying so much. Why are you studying? Because, well, I want to have a career. And I said, you want to have children. Who's going to have children? Oh, children I'll have later. So she's in Krishna consciousness, but no one taught her what is the role. What Krishna teaches us, what is the role that this body is supposed to play. So she says everyone should have a dream. It's all the garbage that she's been taught at school, that you should have an independent career and do your own thing, and then what happens is that the family life becomes just an impediment in the career, and so the children aren't looked after, and the husband is also not satisfied, and the children, their mother and father becomes the TV. And then they don't care for the parents, and the parents don't care for the children either. And then you get modern America, where kids, they pull out a gun and shoot people in the school. It's going to happen in India
too. Because they're completely frustrated.
Because their whole system, they never got mother's love. The children are just a nuisance, you know, I forgot to use the pill, and you know.
And you want to
by the time you found out, it was too late to have an abortion. And,
what do you think of the industrial houses, Maharaj? I mean, like, if you look at these major industrial houses in India, they're all named after their mother. Oh, there's so many philanthropic things named after in memory of their mother. Their mother, the son takes after the mother. Even the biggest industrialist in India, the biggest philanthropist in India, they got everything from their mother. They got so much from their mother. But they don't have that.
So there's a lot of propaganda nowadays that women should fight and they should have equal rights, and like I say, they should be politicians and leaders and fighter jet pilots and bus drivers and construction workers and all this kind of thing. You'll be much happier. You may believe me or not believe me. Certain women and maybe men in our movement will also tell you that, you know, this is just male propaganda to exploit you. But actually, you'll be much happier if you have a good, steady husband, and you serve him, and cook his chapatis, and chant Hare Krishna. And actually, you'll be much better off, because you won't have to go to work. They're telling you, you should have a career. What does that mean? You have to go and work. It's not fun. They're saying, have a career. You know, we're not free like men to have a career. What does that mean? They want to stick you in an office and make you... It's not fun working.
Then if they want to be,
and then you get, just so you get more money. And they say, well, we won't get enough money if we don't work.
They can assist in preaching, though.
There's so many things women can do. It's, they say, oh, if you're just a housewife. Yeah, just a housewife. There's so many things you can do.
When they do some studies, I would like should I leave my profession?
Your individual case, to understand it in full, I'd have to discuss more fully. But basically, your focus should be Krishna conscious and family. And career shouldn't spoil all that. It is possible, there are many women in, you see, traditionally women, it's not just that they're rolling chapatis. They do so many, they are important in the, in traditional societies, women are important in the, they may not be earning money directly, but they're important in the economic structure of the family. They'll be helping in the fields, or if they're a doctor's wife, they may assist him in the practice or whatever. So it's not that women are just, you know, they're not just supposed to be empty-headed fools. Draupadi was managing, she was, you know, her job was like managing the household of the Pandavas, was like managing a big business house. So,
what about Brahishwati?
I'm sorry, Maharaj, but
She was helping.
Yeah, but I can't, you know, I can only say one, you know, if you want to speak to you, maybe you can say, but I can't, there are so many things you could say, but I'm trying to follow a particular line. So, exactly what it means in your life, how to follow. It may also be that due to your conditioning that you have to follow such a way, but that you'll have to see. You need someone who knows you well and who knows what your situation is, prepared to guide you to see. You're living in Nagpur, huh? And you're a doctor. You're practicing? I have a disciple in Pune who's practicing doctor also. Maybe you could phone her up and talk to her and ask for advice. She's a good wife also. She wasn't practicing for some time, but now her kids are grown up, so I suggested she can go back and practice. She's preaching through her practices. She's also a good wife. She's always praying for her husband to become Krishna conscious, and gradually he's coming around. So, basic principles are there, and how it's practically applied in each individual's life we have to see. But in general, this propaganda that women should stand up and fight and, it's... You see, what happened when women want to fight with men, that men, physically, they can fight more powerfully than women. So if it comes to a physical fight, men are going to win. And then you call in the police and this, and it just makes a big mess. So women can control men in another way, which is what's going on in the world today, that by sex. So what's happened is that women, in the name of freedom, that when they're competing with men, then the only asset they have, I mean, they can try to be outsmart them, but then they just become, their only asset is to control by sex. And then when they get to 45, then my sister, she's into women's lib. She's now, let's see, I'm 46, she must be 49. She's finished now. She's got nothing. She can't get any more boyfriends. She's had more probably than she can remember. But she's old, she has no husband, she has no children, she has nothing. No friends, no one respects her. That's what the result of her woman's lip. She had so many boyfriends. She was happy to be used by one after the other. She thought she was being independent. She's got nothing. She's just got the rest of her life. She's just going to be miserable. So it doesn't make any sense. Better get a Krishna conscious husband who's a responsible man, who will look after you. Women also, emotionally they need looking after. Women are different to men. But if you're competing, Prabhupada explained this, he said it's psychological. The men need to feel, I'm in control here. And practically speaking, you see that wherever the man is, you know, he's in charge, but actually the women are controlling. But they do it in a cultured manner. Instead of, not like that, but by sweetness, they can get everything they like. That's why the women who they're very shy, they're very chaste, they're very gentle, they allow their husband, if they charm their husband, he'll do whatever they want anyway. But if you fight, I have to have equal rights, I have to do everything the same as you, then you won't have any peace, you won't have any happiness, and you won't get what... You may superficially get equal rights, but you won't be happy anyway. So, Vaishnav culture is part of the broader Vedic culture, in which men have a superior role. There's a reason for it. It's to help both make use of this rare human form of life to advance towards the goal of Krishna consciousness. May be difficult for you to digest. Have to practice, and probably you need to hear about it more also from devotee Matajis who are living very peacefully and happily like that. Because what happens, you see, I told this young girl in Nagpur, she's maybe 17, 18 years old. What happened? You're going to have a career, you're going to want equal rights, you're going to fight with your husband, you're going to get divorced, you're going to be miserable. Because that's what happens. When women insist, I must be equal to my husband, the husband says, you know, what do I need you for? Why do I have to fight with you? There's so many women, what do I need you for? And she also thinks, what do I need this guy for? I'll get someone else. And then she fights with him too. She spends her whole life fighting. Because she's thinking, I should be equal. When two people live together, even if it's two males, I mean, I'm not talking about homosexuals, but when there are two people, you'll find in any relationship that one person is always somewhat dominant to the other. And in home life, one has to dominate the other. So the Vedic culture is that men should dominate women, at least superficially. The women, subtly they do everything. But that's one of their jobs also, to be an advisor to their husband. There are so many things. It's a great culture, but in modern life we don't have culture. We watch TV. So we don't have culture. We don't hear Mahabharata. We don't hear Ramayana. We don't learn the culture. We don't see the examples. Generally it's not advisable. There may be some cases, but generally it's advised that women get married. If you don't want to, maybe you don't know what you want. I see every woman, you see, even from in the villages, you'll see the young girls. You probably haven't seen much of Indian villages. I've spent years traveling in the villages. You'll see young girls from about the age of 5 or 6. They're carrying their little babies. They can hardly carry them. Their natural tendency is to want to be a mother. And in the West, they don't, because they only have 1 or 2 children. It's here now, they have dolls. Because the girls, they want to have a little baby. That tendency is so strong. So if you don't want, maybe you don't know what you want. There's a very strong tendency in the female body to want to have children. And suppressing that, that's maybe one of the reasons, you know, most of the diseases are psychosymptomatic. Because people are not at peace with themselves. So one thing is that women want to have children. If they don't, mostly they don't have nowadays until they're like 28, 30. Physically the body is ready by age 14 or whatever. So it's unnatural actually. All these things are unnatural. So not wanting to have children, well maybe you're very highly spiritually advanced. I don't know, but most people aren't. So it's natural for... Natural means it's our conditioned tendency, but if we overly reject our conditioned tendency, our conditional tendency, then we can't advance properly. That's why we don't advise all brahmacharis to remain brahmacharis, because some are not fit to do so. They should get married. That's better for their spiritual life. And more so for women. Well, you'll find, if you read Prabhupada's books, you'll find again and again, he says, actually says women must be married. And traditionally in Vedic society, the duty of the father, he must get the daughter, that is his duty. He must get the girl married before puberty. Now in modern society they say this is cruelty, but actually that's a kindness to the girl. And of course that's his duty to get her married, and there's no question, she can't say, no, I don't want to get married. She has to be married. There's one book I wrote called Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life. No, it's on the book table in front of the temple.
And just that.
Yeah. So you can get some idea of what. When I wrote this book, I was surprised that young Indians, modern educated Indians, they didn't know anything about it. Practically everything in the book was something new to them. Even from traditional Brahmin families. They didn't know anything about what is so-called traditional Brahmin families. They don't know anything about their own culture, which is the best culture for spiritual advancement. But we are brought up in the modern Western culture, which is also in India now among so-called educated people, that we should live the Western way of life. But the Western culture is just for exploiting people and making them into demons. Which is why you'll find in America, many men, they call it mail order brides. They don't want to marry an American woman. They want to marry a woman from Asia, from Philippines, Taiwan, because they want a wife who's like a woman, who doesn't want to fight with them, who wants to be their wife, who wants to have the children and look after their children. They don't want an American wife. They want a wife. And they're trying to get someone from Taiwan or Philippines or something like that, because they have traditional values. And modern society is totally demoniac. And all this Prabhupada said this woman's liberation is actually, he said it's demoniac, it's a trick by the men to exploit the women. Because if women have independence, then you can just use them. They have I'm free, I can go to any man I like. And what happens is, the man doesn't have to take responsibility for the children. He uses the woman, and then the baby comes, and then the man, he's gone somewhere else. free, we're free. It's just the men are using women, and the women are left with the children to look after. That's why in modern America, most children are not brought up with their parents. Most children do not go from the up to, they don't get brought up with their physical father and physical mother. Either they're brought up by their mother alone, or in less cases by their father alone, but more usually with their mother and someone else who she's living with, who's their second or third husband, or maybe her boyfriend, or a series of husbands who she has children by, various children by. So this is definitely not conducive to becoming Krishna conscious. What to speak of living a normal, sane human life. And you know, you can see the social condition of America. You want to be part of that? They're promoting that this is very advanced life. And Indian, in all these traditional societies, they exploited women. Maybe that was true to some extent, but at least the women, they had a fixed husband. And the children that they brought up were, they had fixed the stability of a fixed family life, which they don't have now. Nowadays in India, they're having so many social problems. Why is that? Because you adopted Western culture, which they call advanced. It's not advanced, it's hellish. We joined this movement because we were coming from the Western countries, because we were totally frustrated with the Western way of life. And now you want that in India. And even they want it in ISKCON. We're supposed to be establishing Vedic culture. And instead, some so-called enlightened members of our movement want to convert this, our society, to import Western values. So you can go to the promoters of women's liberation in our movement, and they'll, you know, you can go to them and they'll tell you, no, they'll turn you upside down, you're being exploited, this, that, and you have to use your intelligence to decide which is better. They'll tell you, if you're really intelligent, you should, you know, you shouldn't accept to be dominated by anyone, and you should stand up for your rights, and this and that, and you can do it. You'll be standing up in the street with three children, with your rights, and no husband. We're not the body, but that doesn't mean that we act in a manner that is not practicable for this material world. Just like we're not the body, the tiger is also not the body, but you don't go and embrace the tiger. You deal with the tiger according to their body. They're in a certain kind of body which acts in a certain kind of way. So you may embrace the tiger and say there's a spirit soul, but then the body that you've got, which is meant for developing Krishna consciousness, will no longer be intact to do so. So you have to protect the body by, for instance, not embracing tigers. So in the same way, with each particular body comes a certain kind of mentality. Male mentality and female mentality is different. And the male body is also different to the female body. Female bodies give birth to children. Male bodies, except in extremely rare cases, don't. There are examples in Shastra of male bodies having given birth, but it's not, it's... Female bodies give birth to children. So they have a certain function to fulfill. They have a physical function to fulfill. So we're not the body, but we are in this world, and we have certain functions to perform within this world, which we have to perform, understanding that we're spirit souls, but also acting in relationship to the particular kind of body we have. Now, if we say we're all spirit souls, therefore, just like in America, we should have unisex toilets in the university, showers. The men and women, they go in the same shower room in the university. There's no male bathroom and female bathroom. Would you like that? Would you like to say that we're not the body, therefore the men and women should all bathe together? We go down to the... traditionally at the riverside, the men bathe in one place, the women bathe in another place. And the men are not allowed to go where the women go. Would you like to bathe in the same place where the men bathe? If we're not the body. So we should act with no destroy all distinctions based on the body. If you do that, then you lose all lajja. So there's certain men and women should be separated. There should be separation. There should be... some people say we shouldn't discriminate between the sexes. We should discriminate. If we don't discriminate, then we open the doors to indiscriminate sexual freedom, which destroys spiritual life. Because, as Shastra states, it's just like if you bring ghee in contact with fire, it's going to melt. So if you bring man in contact with woman, then the resolve to remain chaste, that will melt. Actually, I shouldn't have said so many things to you, because traditionally, guru preaches to the man who preaches to his wife. And the wife is all, the women are also preached to by their mothers, mothers-in-laws, grandmothers, like that. Times are different. These things you should have learned from your grandma. By hearing Ramayana, Mahabharata, all these things. That is the culture. Now you don't have the culture, now you have Mickey Mouse.
Yes, I also like very much when you put this in the quotation for the Mataji. There is some problem, I always feel it's not embarrassing. There should be proper communication when the Mataji is proper with Mataji.
Generally, they shouldn't talk, yeah, unless there's a need to do so.
Yeah. And I read it and I like it very much because no one is there to tell you this.
They should be telling. We have to. You see, this Krishna conscious movement is attempting to introduce in the, what is in the Western countries a new culture, and what is in India rapidly becoming a forgotten culture. If we don't have that culture, we can't be Krishna conscious. If we think we'll have men and women dancing together in the kit all mixed up, and then we have unisex showers and all this thing, we'll also chant Hare Krishna. We're not going to be Krishna conscious because we may fall down. So this culture is required. So it requires culture. How is it sustained? Like I'm saying, in the family, the mother is considered the first guru. That's why Arjuna was saying, if all the men are destroyed, then the women will be, then no one to protect them, then the culture will be destroyed. So traditionally, the culture, it's a great thing to keep the whole culture, how everyone is preaching. The preaching begins when the child is 5 years old or before, even. Actually, it begins even before. Cultural training, I've seen, it begins even before children can walk or talk, they're beginning to get cultural training. I described that in that Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life. So it's a very great thing, and if we don't understand what this culture is and why we need it and how to practice it, it's going to be very difficult to be Krishna conscious if we don't follow all these things. We can say, you know, equal rights and this and that. It's all coming from our American liberated devotees. But in America, you see, we have such a problem among our devotees, so much divorce, because they're not following, they're not accepting this culture. And they want to introduce it in India now also. But we're going to have the same problems. And actually, I think you'll find among our Indian devotees in ISKCON that the divorce rate is probably higher than among the regular society, because we've imported these Western ideas. So I'm outspokenly against this, for which I'm sometimes called a misogynist. You probably don't know, maybe you know what that word is. I learned it when I was called one. It means a woman hater. Because I'm called a woman hater because I say that what Prabhupada says in his books and what the whole Shastra says and what the whole, for centuries it's been said that women should be subordinate to men. That doesn't mean you hate them. But it's a principle that should be understood for our own spiritual uplift. So please get that book, Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life. That will help you to understand. It would help also if there were more examples of this to see. It's rapidly vanishing. Hare Krishna.